And I'm Todd Hatton. The Paducah Riverfront Development Authority will submit its Renaissance Area Master Plan, or RAMP, to the City Commission soon. The RAMP's purpose is to facilitate improved movement between Paducah's historic downtown, the Lower Town Arts District, and the riverfront. Officials with the PRDA hope this will in turn make Paducah a more attractive destination for tourists, as well as a greater economic resource for current residents and those yet to become residents. To find out more about RAMP and its way forward, I'm joined by PRDA Executive Director Steve Doolittle and its Board Chairman Bruce Brockenbro. I get the impression from reading the Renaissance Area Master Plan that it was born not so much out of a sense that there is anything wrong with Paducah, but more out of an idea that there is a potential that's not been fully realized. Mr. Brockenbro.
Well, I've served in downtown development through Paducah Main Street and Paducah Riverfront Development Authority for a total of about 12 years. And I can tell you over that time, ever since the emergence of the artist relocation program in Lower Town, there's been this sense that there was a lack of connection between two of our most important neighborhoods. So one thing we really are trying to get to is how do you get people into the neighborhoods and then how do you move them between the neighborhoods where they feel like it's one cohesive district?
Looking at some of these photographs, it does seem to me that there's an awful lot that goes into facilitating that movement between places. What is the scope of the issues that this plan is meant to address? Is it simply the movement of people into and out of the area, or between the areas, I should say?
If people want to download the plan, they can easily do that at the city's website. And people that might be listening can do that, and they can flip quickly to page 29, and it outlines the areas of the plan that were meant to be addressed. And it really started with a grant from the National Park Service that the city applied for and received. The reason for the grant was to develop strategies to increase or improve cultural tourism. And, downtown Paducah has that in ACES. Everywhere you look, there's a cultural asset that can be exploited. But along with that, the city knew that we didn't really have a strong downtown or district plan in place. We had a collection of different documents we had been working for a number of years, but some of those were really at the end of their lifespan, and it was time to produce a document and come up with a plan that addressed some emerging issues as Bruce was talking about and bring those together under one document.
One of the proposals I thought was particularly interesting. The RAMP mentions, the Renaissance Area Master Plan mentions that Paducah prides itself on its river heritage, and yet the one thing you can't see standing on second or even close to water is the river. And I loved the solution that's in the report. It kind of surprises me that no one had thought of it before. I suppose I should mention that elegant solution is the building of a berm, that you, when you're at the top of it, your feet are about level with the top of the flood wall, and you can see clear across to Illinois. Is everything in here so intuitive as something like that?
I think that is. I think as we sat and we've talked about why is it that pedestrians in this compact area, why don't they move freely between the Lower Town Arts District and downtown and vice versa? They just don't seem to do it. It's not that it's not walkable. It's not like it's too far. It's not like there's not sidewalks. There are. It's just that the design elements weren't in place that led people to those places. I think anybody should do a little experiment when you travel in any city. When you see streetscape elements, and by that I mean nicely paved or brick sidewalks and landscaping and lighting, it's probably there for a purpose. There's probably some city planner, some downtown development group that said, we want to lead people along this pathway. And for one reason or another, that hadn't happened before in Paducah, even though they were physically close enough to do it. We didn't build those clues into the built environment. So that's part of the solution offered in the RAMP is a rational plan for doing that.
Could either of you gentlemen summarize some of the other elements in the plan for those that may not have had a chance to take a look at it yet?
Well, Steve and I rarely talk about the plan in terms of single elements, because if you take one element out, other things kind of start to collapse a little bit. For example, the plan anticipates that maybe someday somebody would be interested in developing a hotel somewhere near the river. There are a lot of elements to support the kind of traffic that would justify a hotel. So, I think we talk about this every time we talk about the plan. We think of it as a plan in its entirety that I agree with you, has a lot of interesting elements. But I think we just don't think of it that way most days, Steve.
No plan is a collection of disparate ideas. They're all meant to function and work together as one piece. But I'm glad you brought up the hotel issue, Bruce, because that seems to be a popular concept that people like to want and know about since the purchasing and the tearing down of the Executive Inn a couple of years ago. The plan goes into a long discussion about what the strategy should be. The Riverfront Development Authority commissioned a company to do a market study, and they came back and concluded to us that there are the downtown market. There's really room in the market for 300 hotel rooms, of which we don't have any. We have a few B&Bs. We have a few condo rental kind of things going on, but there's not an institution called a hotel anywhere near downtown. So they identified and determined that we have room in the market and confirmed the belief that we could support a hotel, and then divided the strategy into really a two-hotel strategy, that you would have one hotel to support the convention center and another hotel somewhere in an identified area within the district that would be more of a hotel that would support tourism and visitors and the corporate interests that are existing downtown.
If they come downtown, they may come to see the Museum of the American Quilter Society, the proposed marina that will go down at the foot of Broadway. The ramp refers to regional tourism infrastructure, and I'm presuming that the Quilters Museum and the hotel are very big parts of that. What are some of the other parts?
Well, we have so many elements downtown that draw regionally, and when you think of the Quilt Museum nationally and internationally, that you almost hesitate to name them. You think of the obvious ones. The Carson Center, Steve was telling me today, reports that they have sold tickets to various shows to people from all 50 states.
Really?
So that's a surprising statistic. If you go into Maiden Alley Cinema on any weekend evening or afternoon, you will see people who are obviously coming from a pretty broad geography, just because the next nearest cinema like Maiden Alley is in Nashville. The River Discovery Center is certainly a nice draw, a great educational element. We have award-winning theater in the Market House, and I'm leaving probably four or five people out when I make that statement.
Well, I am curious about, for instance, the Market House Museum. That's moving from where it is in the Market House to new digs just across from the Museum of the American Quilter Society at some point in the future. How does that lay into it? I mean, is that another part of that regional tourism infrastructure?
Well, their concept is interesting because it creates an opportunity for a museum district. So now when you think about the block that the what I call the Quilt Museum is on, you can start thinking about, okay, what about the other corners? What about the other areas? Is there another museum that maybe has an element that would make sense to cluster with the others? Because we do know that clustering effect is a strong draw for traffic. Somebody that may be coming to town to see a quilt would be more than happy. They'd be thrilled to come in and see the history of Paducah, or the history of railroads in Paducah in the context of the Rail Museum, which is next to the Carson Center.
Well, all the elements by themselves sound kind of niche-y. Cultural visitors tend to, once you've captured them, maybe you capture them through the Quilt Museum. But if you can get just a percentage of those to stay one more day in Paducah, you begin to see what an enormous impact that would be. And I think it was just a brilliant decision by the Market House Museum to locate next to one of the crown jewels of downtown, the Quilt Museum, just because of the tens of thousands of visitors it gets every year.
Well, Mr. Doolittle, what's been the reception? Has anyone taken any issue with any part of the plan?
Well, anything that's ambitious, you touch a few nerves. One of the nerves that got touched is the observation of the planning group that there's two large surface parking lots in downtown Paducah right next to the river, right next to the flood wall. And they opined in the plan that represents a gross underutilization of those assets, that, as you mentioned earlier, you should build a berm on that one end of that one piece and provide a public overlook of the river. But moreover, they made a recommendation in the plan that we should examine development opportunities for those parking lots. Well, that has not been without controversy because the parking lot, particularly the city-owned parking lot at First and Broadway, presents a lovely view of the river through the one opening. It has the murals. It's nicely landscaped. People, I think, get the notion that there would be some loss of aesthetic quality if that lot were anything other than it is right now.
Well, I noticed that some of the cost estimates here, just approximately total over $1.75 million, and that's a very loose estimate. But if someone were to wave a magic wand and put $2 million into that pot, how long would this take?
It's a gradual reinvention. If we looked at our friends in Owensboro today, they did get that magic wand of a nice piece of money, and they are having a comprehensive facelift of their downtown, and it's dramatic. I think what you'll see with us is more of a gradual improvement. If you gave me that budget of $2 million, I would start on the streetscaping.
I would, and the wayfinding.
Mm-hmm. I think those go hand in hand. They're some of the easiest things to accomplish, and they're some of our biggest impediments. We always talk about the fact that some streets just don't feel like they're supposed to be crossed by pedestrians, and we can fix that with enhanced crosswalks, mm-hmm. with enhanced wayfinding. So it's not necessarily the expensive things I would tackle first. It would be the ones that you just can kind of get the best results out of a reasonable amount of effort.
Once this plan does make it to the city commissioner phase, and after it goes through whatever necessary public comment and public hearing, what happens next? Is it a matter of we complete what we can based on the available funds, or what does the timetable look like?
Well, I like that characterization, Todd. It's as we go forward in our budget cycle, or a grant becomes available, or we get some state assistance, we can make decisions based on probably the less expensive things. Nobody is going to build a parking garage at First and Broadway without some supporting reason of expanded private investment, whether it be in retail or in residential or in office space. So those things kind of go hand in hand. But all of our opportunities in downtown Paducah, they tend to be cast in time. Something somewhere in the future will come up, and hopefully the document will provide us guidance on how to go forward as a community.
At the same time, there are elements that the city manager could decide to direct to a department tomorrow if he chose to, because the plan talks about specific things such as, you know, in an arts community, maybe we should have artistic garbage cans or artistic bike racks. Those type of things, I think you'll see, you know, you will see there's a plan. But there, as Steve said, some things are so far out of our control, we really have to hope we're ready when that opportunity comes.
I did think that the rendering of the transmontane tanks, one is a beautiful shade of purple, one is gold, I think one is green and blue.
That's a perfect example. Obviously, the city doesn't have any control over that whatsoever. But we would hope that at some point when they're doing routine maintenance and tanks need to be painted, that they say, here's a way for us to participate in the arts community. Here's a way to make it look interesting, because even a tank, if it's on an important transportation corridor, can be an interesting thing for people to observe.
And you know, that example in the plan addresses an overall issue that we should be able to address pretty quickly, and that's that it's difficult to get from the highway to our historic districts as a visitor and feel like you're heading in the right direction. You go through industrial areas of town, and they don't look very interesting, and then all of a sudden you hit downtown. Mm-hmm. And if you come in on the loop on 3rd or 4th Street, maybe before you even realize it, you're through downtown. So those are some of the issues that we can address early on, and we should. That elicited probably as much comment as anything early on, and it was surprising because the author of the study just kind of put in little placeholders. You know, he would use examples like the transmontane tanks and say in a public meeting, now, I'm not saying specifically we need to paint a tank purple, but this would give somebody a clue they're heading in the right direction. I think the most positive thing or most popular thing he threw out there was the idea of the Burma Shave signs that would go down the loop that would just kind of continually tell you, since there's a rhyming sign scheme, that you're heading in the right direction.
And there's a strategy to it all. Baby boomers like myself, we chase jobs. That's what we did. We left college, we found a job, and then we made our lives there. Yeah, it's not so much the way it's going these days. Younger folks leaving college, they have a demand for cultural amenities. They pick and choose the place they want to live first, and then they make their living after it. There's a fascinating book by Rebecca Ryan who said, live first, work second. And so it plays on that whole trend. So every community, including Paducah, is going to be in a future demand for workforce. And so we have to position our communities in ways that makes it interesting for younger workforce to want to live there. And nice historic districts and lots of cultural amenities and entertainment districts in the downtown area and hotels and beautiful riverfronts is a great strategy to do that. It's something every community can do. It's something Paducah has done particularly well. We're very proud of that, but there's work left to be done.
Steve Doolittle is executive director of the Paducah Riverfront Development Authority. Bruce Brockenborough is chairman of the PRDA board. He's also CEO of Hannon Supply Company in Paducah. Gentlemen, thank you for coming by to speak with us.
It was a pleasure.
Thank you for having us anytime.